privilege to teach this evening. I praise the Lord for our pastor, the ministry here, his family, and you that are here. Last time I began to teach on a subject, the spirit of men. So I'm going to be teaching a little bit more on that. You may be seated. I don't think I'll be reading anything. Let's just pray together. Heavenly Father, we bless your name. We thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your faithfulness, your kindness. Thank you for your word that is going forth. Thank you for every soul, every spirit that will be receiving it. Help us, help me, O God. I trust in you and I rely on you that you'll help me, that I'll follow the lead of the Spirit. I bless your name, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you were not here, last time I taught on the subject, the spirit of men. I kind of rushed my way here. I had to preach somewhere in Stewart and come back and pick up my kids, and now I'm here. So Pastor said, I scared him, thinking that I wasn't going to make it. The spirit of men. The last time I began a teaching on the spirit of men. It was quite a lengthy teaching, so I'm going to just keep going on where I started. I'm going to pick up from where I left off, but before I do, I just want to back up a little bit so that you that were not here can get to understand what I'm going to be teaching about. Scripturally, we understand that we are more than flesh. We are more than blood, or we're more than just a blab of flesh and blood, but there's more to us. We have a spirit. The Bible says the word spirit comes from Greek. The word spirit comes from Greek, wind. Pneuma, and it means wind, breath, things that are not commonly perceived as having any material substance. And by extension, the word spirit means mind, it means heart, it means the immaterial part of the inner person that can respond to God. So the word spirit, or spirit as we would say it, is actually the part that we serve God with. It's the part that Satan also desires to hijack, if you will. It's the immaterial part of the inner person that can respond to God. Just hang with me for a while. I get a little anxious because I thought I was going to be late. John 3:6 says, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. What this means is when a person gives birth to flesh, it's flesh. But when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, when you are filled with the Holy Ghost, you are becoming a spiritual being, or alive, so to speak. In Romans 1:9, Paul said, God is my witness whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son. What he's saying is, you don't serve God so much with your flesh, but you serve God with the spirit. Romans 7:22 say, I delight in the law of God after the inward man, which is the spirit man. John 4:24 says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So we spoke a little bit of the Holy Ghost baptism, what it means, because we were dead, the scripture says in the book of Ephesians. But he quickens us by his spirit. He makes us alive to him, or he makes it possible that we can communicate with him, because God is spirit and we are flesh. And he does not operate in the realm of flesh, so to speak. Satan is spirit. God is spirit. But in order for God to commune with us, he had to make us like him. Even in the Old Testament, if you read that the people that God dealt with, he would give them his spirit so that he would connect with them. The prophets and the priests, they had the spirit of God upon them so that God can commune with them. Moses, Aaron. And the list goes on. So God gives us his spirit in order to be alive to God. We spoke that the spirit of the Lord does not possess you. If the Spirit of God possessed you, none of us here would have to be here, because we would have no more sin. We would have no problem with sin. The Spirit of God does not possess us, but the Spirit of God, the grace of God that bringeth salvation, have appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we can live soberly, righteously, and godly. So what the Spirit does, it teaches us to be aware in the spirit realm. Because when you are in the world, when you walk in the flesh, a carnal man, the Bible says, the carnal man, can I come up with the scripture? Cannot understand the things of the spirit, because they are spiritually discerned. So when God baptizes us with the Holy Ghost, he gives us the ability to discern in the spirit, if you will. It says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. That's what Romans tells us. We're not in the flesh, but we are in the spirit, if you were baptized with the Holy Ghost. If the Spirit of God dwells in you, you are not in the flesh. So sometimes people say, I don't mean to be spiritual. But what you really should be saying is, you are spiritual. And not that I don't want to be, I want to be spiritual. Because God baptizes us with his spirit so that we can deal or do business in the realm of the spirit. We spoke of the fact that your spirit was like a storage space. I gave some examples of how people that were molested or people that were mistreated when they were little, how that they harbor a lot of hurt, a lot of pain, a lot of trauma, and the right situation would trigger it and it would come out. Some is fear, sometimes it's mistrust, sometimes it's self-image issues, hatred, and the list goes on. Whatever it is that is in your spirit, whenever it's triggered, it's going to come out. I mean, you've heard of the boiling point. For example, if you have anger, the boiling point will bring it out. Or if you have hatred, the boiling point will bring it out. So our spirit stores things. Children that were molested, they have issues trusting people, or they have issues in relationships, or people that were abused in relationships, they have relationship and trust issues. These things that inhabit our spirit. We spoke of joy, faith, gossip, anger, unforgiveness, pride, mercy, lust, patience, as things that are spiritual. They're not physical stuff. You cannot touch joy, but you know that you have joy. You cannot touch lust, but you know lust exists. You cannot touch patience, but you know patience exists. You cannot touch virtue, but you know virtue exists. You see what I'm saying? Envy and jealousy, all these things exist in our spirit if we allow them. Proverbs 27:23-7 says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I'm just doing a little bit of review from last time. So, as a person thinketh in his heart, so is he. So what God is saying, the spirit of the person is actually the real person. What's in your spirit is exactly who you are. We can put a nice front in church or wherever we go, but the scripture says whatever is in your spirit is actually the person that you are. Matthew 7:27-21-23 says, from within, out of the heart of men or spirit of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. He says all these things come from within and they defile a man. Just stay with me for a minute here. I haven't picked up from for this week yet. But God, the scripture says, judges the spirit of the man. God judges the heart of the man, and not so much the profession or the action of the man, but he judges the motive or the spirit of that person. Says, even if you consider his words, for example, the Bible says there are spirit and there are life. There is something that happens when you hear the word of God. It seems like it deals more with the inward person than the person that's standing here. It deals more with your spirit than with your understanding. That's why in the book of Hebrews it says the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It says piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, meaning it goes deep in your spirit. God does not operate on surface. He operates in the spirit. He does not do plastic surgery, if you will, but God operates deep within us. It pierces to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Proverbs 16:2 says, all the ways of men are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirit. Proverbs 20:27 said, the spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. So if we can start picking up in this week's now, so we're going to keep going on with the spirit of men. If the things that defile us or contaminate us are from within, that means there must have been a time when they entered in. The things that contaminate us, the scripture says that they come from within, but they could not have been in us in the womb. So they must have gone in at a certain time. And after they went in, for example, a person mistreat you and it enters in as an offense. But when it takes roots in you, it becomes bitterness. It doesn't come out so much as offense. You might offend people because you were offended, but something has harbored and taken roots in your spirit, and it comes out as sin. My old pastor always said, whatever you put in, it's going to come out some way or another. The book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verse 23 said, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Out of it are the issues of life. Proverbs 25:28 says, he that hath no rule over his spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. So what do I gather here? What I gather is God lays the responsibility of the contents of your spirit in your hand. He puts the responsibility of what goes into your spirit in your hands. I don't think you paying attention to that. The Bible says to try the spirits, whether they be of God. Try the spirits, whether they be of God. And this you cannot do unless you are spiritual. Because Christian, a lot of times people say, I don't want to be spiritual. You have to be spiritual because your daddy is a spirit. God is a spirit. God is a spirit. So his offsprings have to be spiritual. Satan is spirit. So if we're going to war in the spirit, we have to be spiritual in order to discern the spirit. The Bible says, try the spirits whether they be of God. Amen. God is the father of spirits. Hebrews 12:9 says, furthermore, we have had fathers in our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? God is the Father of spirits. God does not father flesh, so to speak. He's the Father of spirits. Bible says, now are we the sons of God. And he's the Father of spirits. Now are we the sons of God. It doth not appear what we shall be, but we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him, because we will see him as he is. In the book of Ecclesiastes, it says, when we die, our spirit goes back to the God who gave it. God is the Father of spirits. And we said, our spirits are storage spaces where we can store all kinds of things, including spiritual things, including things that are just worthless. We must guard our spirit. We must be like a watchman. The scripture says, all that is in this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye,
And the pride of life is not of the Father, but of this world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. How do we guard our spirits? If you read in the book of Genesis, you notice that there were some gates that Satan used to enter into Eve's spirit. The scripture says he spoke to her. And the other thing Eve did, Eve looked at the tree. The Bible says she looked at it and she saw that it was pleasant. And then she processed what she saw in her mind, in her understanding. And he says, this tree is good for knowledge. We do not serve God with our understanding. Paul said, the God whom I serve in the spirit, the words that I speak, they're a spirit and they're a life. We serve God from the deep part of us, not from our senses per se. Satan used the gates of eyes and he used the gates of ears. And then he used carnal understanding, the natural man understanding. The Bible says the natural man is not subject to God. So Eve processed this temptation in her understanding, and therefore she fell. We must at no time purposefully expose our spirits to things that are worldly and ungodly. If I could say that one more time, you cannot purposefully, if you are a spiritual person, expose your spirit to things that are worldly, to things that are secular, to things that do not benefit us. The Bible does not say that the people that are baptized of the Holy Ghost, they are the sons of God. It says the people that are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. The Lord taught me something. I was thinking about stuff. And the Lord says, you know, when the writer writes something, the spirit of the writer is actually attached to his writing. And the Bible says there is a spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience. There is a spirit that works in the children of disobedience. It worked on us when we lived in the flesh, when we lived according to the course of this world. That spirit worked in us. There's a spirit that is attached to the person that writes a film. There is a spirit about that person. You say, well, you probably over-spiritualize everything. Now, let me ask you, why would they put a sexual scene in a movie? Because spirit attaches to spirits. Spirits attach to spirits. They're not looking for your flesh per se, but lust is in your spirit, and they're evoking lust in your spirit. Why would a little kiddie movie have two animals that are males kissing together? Why? Because spirits attach to spirit, and they look for the spirit of your child when your child is very young. When your child is very, very, very young, spirits attach to spirit. Why do they put vulgarities in a movie? Why couldn't they just say the word? Instead of just babbling a whole bunch of vulgar stuff, there is a spirit that works in the men that wants to transfer into your spirit. I spoke about it last time. Sometimes you hear something and it was not your stuff. You heard it maybe on the radio somewhere, and this thing keeps replaying in your mind. Or you watch a part of a movie and you go to bed, you dream about it. Psychologists said it's your subconsciousness. The Bible does not use subconsciousness. It uses the word spirit. God puts the charge of our spirits in our hands. We know that we are of God, the scripture says. But it says the whole world lies in wickedness. Another translation says, we know that we are of God, but the whole world is under the control of the evil one. The systems of the world, the ways of the world, the fashions of the world is under the control of the evil one. Will you say God has all control? Yes, he does. But why did Satan come to Jesus and says, the whole world I would give you. I'd give you fame. I'd give you glory if you just bow down to me and worship me. Because Adam surrendered it to him. The whole world is under the control of the evil one. And that's why the scripture says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities and powers. And then the forces of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. But at the same time, the scripture says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So if you want to be natural, go ahead and be natural. But if you're going to war in the spirit realm, you got to be spiritual. Hallelujah. God puts the charge of our spirits in our hands. And furthermore, I was reading the scripture. God actually also put the spirit of your child in your hands. A person might say, well, it can't be so. Well, why does God say to not spare the rod? Are you doing plastic surgery on the kid? When you beat them, you don't want to change the way they look, but you want to change their spirit. Because you notice that there's a spirit that want to get a hold of them. So when you correct their spirit, you don't correct their body. You correct their spirit. The Bible says the Lord our God is one Lord. You should love the Lord our God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your might. And then he said, these words that I have spoken unto you shall be in your heart, and you will teach them to your children. And you shall talk of them when you sit down. You shall talk of them when you walk by the wayside. He says, when you rise up, when you sit down. He says, I want you to write it on the post of your door and in the gates. If the next generation will know it, you are responsible. He says to the parents, you got to teach it. You got to teach it. You got to write it down. Put it as a thing in your arm and as frontlets between your eyes. Because if the next generation is going to know it, you have to teach them. And not only that, you have to protect their spirit. And this morning because I have my nephew who lives with me right now, sometimes I pray. I say, God, help me to know what to do with him. Because the Bible says if you offend one of these little ones, it would have been better that you wrap something around your neck and go drown yourself. And I was asking God, I mean, how do you offend one? And God told me, you know what? When you are inconsistent, a Christian, before the kid, you deposit something in their spirit and it follows them as they grow up. When you are inconsistent, when you speak one way and you live one way, You are connecting to their spirit. You are speaking to their spirit. The things that they see you value, the things that they see you devalue, the things that they see you esteem high, they actually, that thing becomes natural to them to do. Jesus said, watch so you don't offend one of these little ones. Anyway, time spent that a thing. There's a time spent when something enters into your spirit. Bible says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. So what happens is when you hear something, you have to be ready to condemn it. Bible says the word of a talebearer are like deep wounds and they go down to the belly. They go down to your spirit. So when a talebearer comes to you, you have to be ready to condemn that, because that spirit is actually looking for a spirit to latch on. And if you allow it to come in, if you allow it to minister to you, next thing you know, what they tell you, you begin to process it in your mind. And then there's a matter of time that this thing penetrates in your spirit also. Are you hearing me? We have to guard our spirit. The Bible says to not let the sun go down on your anger. I think I might have mentioned that a little bit. When you have an argument of some sort with your wife, with a brother, with a sister, do not go to sleep. Because when you go to sleep, all you do is allow this thing to kind of work its way in you. It works its way in you. I mean, you may not even feel it. And then afterwards, later on, when another argument arises, you start naming stuff that happened in the first argument. You know why? Because you have allowed bitterness to enter into your spirit. And the Bible is telling us to guard our heart. Guard our heart. Do not let anything get in, because many things want to get in into your heart. Okay, if our spirit is a storage space, many things enter into us, whether it's spiritual things or whether it's natural things. But the things of the spirit, it seems like in order for them to get in, you have to be mindful and you have to be intentional. Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. If any man opens, I will enter in. Our spirits have gates. He said of the Pharisees, their hearts, they have closed, so that at any time I cannot save them. I want to save them, but they have closed the gates of their hearts or of their spirit. If you ever hear something, have you ever heard something in the scripture and you knew it was true, but the moment you heard it, you felt something going in, you felt something in your bowels that kind of shut itself. You shut yourself to the word. So when you do that, God can't help you. It's like you know it's true, but the moment you heard it, it meets something that you already have in there that's contrary to what you're hearing. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Sometimes you might have unforgiveness or something like that in your spirit. And then the preacher reads, or you open the Bible and you begin to read. The Bible says, how many times should you forgive? Is it seven times? Jesus said 70 times seven. When you read that, because you have one person in mind, you're like, I can't do it. The moment you think that, you close your heart. And forgiveness is not going to come. So our spirits have gates. In the book of Psalm 24, it says, lift up your heads, all ye gates, ye everlasting doors. Be ye lifted up, and the King of glory will come in. He's saying, I want to come in, but you have to lift up the gates. You have to open up your spirit to me. When you receive the Holy Ghost, for example, you open yourself to God. For a moment there, you were not thinking natural stuff. You were just, sometimes it might have been your condition was so dire that you would do anything, which was the case with me and with all of us. So you opened, you had no reservation. I remember teaching, I was preaching in New York, and I was preaching up a storm, you know. And I knew the word was going forth, but there was this one girl, she sat there, she did not move. And during the altar service, one of the brothers went to her and kind of whispered and began to talk to her. And he said, you know, you might have been hurt a lot. And I know God was moving on him. He began to talk basically her language. He began to connect with her spirit. He said, I know you've been hurt. And because of that, you have closed your spirit to everybody, to God and to men. And he says, but in order to experience God, you have to become vulnerable to God. He did not talk to her for 1 minute. That lady began screaming and speaking with tongues. And she had received the Holy Ghost 20 years ago, had not spoken with tongues, had not been in church. She screamed out and began to worship God and began to speak with new tongues because she opened the gates to God. So we have gates to our spirit. But if anything spiritual is going to come in, we have to open up. But the Bible says, he that is not the shepherd, he climbs in some other way. He says the shepherd comes in through the door. So anything spiritual, you cannot be accidentally loving. You cannot be accidentally caring. You cannot be accidentally forgiving or full of grace. These are things that you have to intentionally do. You're not going to be full of faith accidentally, because you have to open up the gates to the King of Kings. But the Bible says, he that is not a shepherd, he climbs in some other way. So he enters in, whether it's through the husband or through the kid or through your worker, co-worker. He climbs in some other way, any way possible. So he tried Jesus directly. He didn't get him. So he went to Peter. He said, you're not going to be crucified. Get this thing out of here. But Jesus said, I rebuke you, Satan, to Peter, right? Because we are spiritual beings. And Jesus said to James and John, you do not know what spirit you are of, because you have opened yourself to a different spirit, another spirit. So we need to guard ourselves. In the book of Psalm 101, I think Psalm 101 and verses 1 through 3. I'm almost done. I have to. Psalm 101, 1 through 3. It says this. I will sing of mercy and judgment. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. These are intentional stuff. You watching this. He's saying, I will do this. I will do this. I will do this. Watch this. He says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave unto me. He is intentional. And he says, I'm not going to put anything that is wicked before my eyes. I will not open up the gates to anything that is wicked. He says, I hate the works of them that turn aside. They will not cleave unto me. I will not entertain their works. They will have no receptors on me, so to speak. They will not cling. They will not cleave. They cannot. Because he says, I'm intentional. I will be with a perfect heart in my house. I will set no wicked things before my eyes. We have to be intentional. The scripture says this. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, of a good report, if there be any praise, think on these things. Or maybe I should say it a different way. Whatsoever things are entertaining. Whatsoever thing that caters to my body and to my feelings and emotions. The scripture does not say that. We have to be careful. Sometimes you hear the word of God and you saying, you know what, so-and-so is preaching, so-and-so is doing it. The Bible says that's carnal. Paul said, are you not carnal and walk as men? The Bible is not looking for us to walk as men. He's looking for us to be spiritual. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are good. The Bible says these things we have to think on. These things we have to fill ourselves with. Paul said this thing, he watched here, he says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful, but all things edify not. Maybe this doesn't mean much to you, but it did to me. Another scripture says, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful unto me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. I will not let them cleave to my spirit. I could do them if I wanted to. And then later on, he says, they edify not. First one, he said, I will not be brought under their power. And then the second one, he says, all things are lawful, but all things are not expedient. They're not necessary. And it says, all things are lawful, but they do not all edify. Are we looking to be spiritual? If we're looking to be spiritual, we're looking for spiritual things that edify. The spirit. Romans said the carnal mind is enmity with God. 2 Corinthians says the natural man cannot receive the things of the spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. They cannot know them because they are spiritually discerned. It says, for who have known the mind of God, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. David got a hold of it. Paul got a hold of it. I mean, you just read their writing. Paul said, even if it's not sinful, if it edifies not, you could take it away. He says, you could scratch it out because it does not edify me. He says, it's okay. I could do it if I wanted to, but I don't want to because he says, I want to know him. I want to know him. He's spiritual. He is spiritual. He is spiritual. And if I want to know him, I have to get those things of the spirit into my spirit. Because he baptized me in the spirit so that he could fill my spirit with the things of the spirit. But what am I looking after? And God says we have to guard our spirit, meaning we responsible for our own spirit. He urged the Corinthians, he says, be ye not drunk with wine, wherein there's excess. But he says, be ye filled with the Spirit. That doesn't mean be baptized of the Holy Ghost. But he's saying, I want you to be so full of the Spirit. Now watch this. Jesus Christ was so full of the Spirit. The Bible says, he says, I and the Father are one. The Spirit and I are one because I always do what he says. Bible says, no man has seen the Father, but the only begotten that is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Meaning he was so spiritual that he became one. The will of God was worked in him. Whatsoever God is or whosoever God is was in him. He says we are one, but he says of us that they might be one in us. That we can be like him. That we can be spiritual as he is. You could not get Jesus. No one could get Jesus to be carnally minded. Just think about it. The disciples said to Jesus, look at this beautiful building. Look at this beautiful building. Isn't that wonderful? The only thing he can think of, this thing is not going to last. He said, there's not a stone that's going to stay on top of the other. And I imagine the disciples said, does this guy have to spiritualize everything? Does he have to over-spiritualize everything? Because you know what? He was in the Spirit. The Bible says we are in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwelling in us. But he says we have to walk in it. We have to walk in, we have to operate in that realm, if you will. And we cannot war in the Spirit unless we are in the Spirit, unless we walk in the Spirit. It says in Philippians 1 and 11, says, be ye filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory of God. I know you want to know him. I want to know him. I want to know him. Hallelujah. I believe there's a point that you reach where your understanding. We don't serve God with our understanding. We serve God with the Spirit. But there is a point where you get with Jesus Christ, where your understanding is fed from your spirit. Your understanding is fed by your spirit. You see what I'm saying? That's when a situation comes up. Say David, for example. Goliath is standing. Every understanding of men understands that a little kid cannot fight a giant. But the only understanding he had was what came from his spirit. What was deep within him. And what was deep within him is there's nothing that God can do. There's nothing that God cannot do. There was nothing that was impossible to him because his spirit became his understanding. His spirit became what he understood. He did not understand with the understanding of men. He understood from the depths of his spirit. And the depths of his spirit was filled with the things of God. It was full of faith. It was full of the Holy Ghost. It was full of the things of God. That you could not get him to think for a moment with his own understanding. Because his reasoning or his understanding was totally one with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. I want to know him that way. Be ye full of the Holy Ghost. We want to be to the point that the things that we think about, the things that we let go, run through our mind, become the things of God. So that when we come against a so-called impossible situation like David, it will not be impossible to us because we're not thinking with our own understanding. We're not carnal men. We're not walking as men, but we are spiritual. I mean, I just hope you got a hold of this, so that whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are lovely, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Because when you think on it, it enters in your spirit. There are times the preacher is preaching and I tell myself, I begin to pray because I could feel that I'm rejecting what I'm hearing. And I begin to pray against that
because I know there is something that's rising up in me and I want it out right now so that the word of God can have residence. Let's just stand together. Hallelujah. Let's just cry out to God. We're going to come up here and pray. Let's just come together in unity and begin to come against every spirit that would work in this place, because we war in the spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.